Marcus Smith, your hair's looking good. Welcome to the pod.
Thank
you. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. Getting a bit bored at the minute. The sun's outside. I wish I was outside, but there's much bigger things going on at the minute. So.
And Caden is in lockdown, unfortunately. So you must be down with the family, are you, in Brighton?
Yeah, I'm down in sunny Brighton. Caden's in lockdown. I think he gets released today. So I'll be back up to Guildford, hopefully middle of this week, to do some training with him, hopefully. And see how he's going.
Nice. I'm excited for the pod. Got lots of cool questions for you. Definitely want to explore some of your development journey. First thing, Nick Twigg asked about your Centaurs memories. Let's start with Centaurs and let's move on from there. I can see you welling up at the thought of being back in the mighty Singapore. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Centaurs was a great time. I still remember it with fond memories. Just basically playing out there with my dad used to coach us along with a few other good mates of mine, dads. And it was kind of just a fun way to spend a Saturday morning. We used to go up there at 9 o'clock. Dads would be there at 8:30, buzzing, putting their sun cream on to make sure they don't go too red. And then the kids would just go out there, half of us in barefoot, half of us with boots on, and just play basically touch games, a bit of contact at the end if the dads allowed us. But mainly just touch games, 2-on-1s, 3v2s. And then after, we just have a big barbecue. And I think that's that sort of enjoyment sort of stuff. And always sunny, playing touch games with a barbecue, obviously, at the end with a big bacon butty was lovely. And then I still have loads of good friends who I keep in contact with from there. A lot of them actually at schools here in England. So, yeah, we keep in contact a lot and it's good fun.
What do you mean the dads were buzzing? What did that look like?
Oh, just like the dads were just laughing, enjoying themselves, giving the kids banter. Some of them joining in, talking about their good old days playing for Valley in Hong Kong, because a lot of them played for Valley Fort Rowing Club in Hong Kong back in the day when they all used to live there. So just laughing, giggling, bantering about England beating New Zealand, England beating Australia. Or other international teams beating England. It's just, I think it's just the family feel around it made it so enjoyable to go, and my brothers loved it as well out there.
Nice. And were you one of the barefoots or were you one of the boots?
I started barefoots, and then as I grew in age and grew in size, I started putting boots on. Didn't want to damage my precious feet.
Nice. And then what? And so what happened after that? So. You came over to Brighton?
Yeah, so Singapore for 7-8 years. And then, born in the Philippines, 7 or 8 years in Philippines. Not much rugby. That was just basically catch ball, throwing any balls around, oranges, whatever. My mum threw at me as well. And then Singapore, mainly rugby. And then there was this thing called the Singapore Barbarians, which Tom Brown, I don't know if you know him, He set up with my dad, basically just like a Singapore select team that would go on tour to Hong Kong and Australia and stuff. And so I did a few tours to Australia and Hong Kong. One in Hong Kong, which was horrendous. We stayed in the worst place in the world. Chunking Mansions, I don't know if you know.
No, mate, I'm not staying in the places I'm staying in.
I think that's when I started getting exposure with bigger... especially in Australia against like Box Hill, Cottesloe, there was some big boys who used to try and bully us. But I think the backbone that we built in Singapore were just catch and pass skills. We would get bullied the odd time, but I think skills still prevailed. And we used to win a few games there, which we had no right to win, you know, from a little team in Singapore playing against big Aussie teams. They were giving it large and we were trying to give it large too. So that was good fun. And then, obviously, back to England, where I went to Brighton College.
Nice, and met up with the wonderful Nick Boy.
Yeah.
A match made in heaven. Three words to describe Nick Boy.
Fun. Thoughtful. And challenging.
Nice. I'd take all three of those. Three words to describe your dad coaching.
My dad coaching... harsh. There's one story where he sent me off a back check. But he was the ref, and he sent me off a back check. I was under nines or something, under tens, and sent the Turf City, you'll know it, where you walk from one side. We used to train on the back pitch, and we used to walk around through the forest or through the jungle and walk to the other side where the car park was. And he sent me off, and I started, took my water bottle and started walking to the car. And he stopped the whole game to start running after me because I was crying. So harsh.
Harsh. Strong story.
Harsh. What else? Generous in his giving his time. He'll always be out there catching the balls for me. And then passionate.
Nice. You are one of the most competitive people I've coached, so I can relate to the storming off thing.
Yeah.
Have you had that from the start? What's been your sense around that? Because
around being competitive.
Yeah, you'd be one of the most competitive people I've coached. People might not see it, but you would be.
I think it's just the fact that I've got two younger brothers who are probably more competitive than me, especially my youngest one. He's ridiculous. If he doesn't get his way, he throws his toys at the pram. So there was actually a game of Monopoly yesterday where we were shouting across the living room. never stops. And my brother's girlfriend was there and my brother's housemate were there, but it didn't stop us from shouting at each other because I wanted his yellow and he wanted my orange and he wasn't going to get it. But yeah, I don't know. I think the competitive stuff started. My dad's a very passionate Englishman. He loves England, and whoever he supports, he'll back him till the day he dies. So I think him always singing Swing Low when England were playing on TV a million miles away when we were in Singapore, I think got us all passionate and patriotic. And then I think it's just playing my brothers, whatever it was, whether it was on the Xbox, whether it was board games, whether it was swimming in the swimming pool in our condominium in Singapore. I think we just always wanted to beat each other, and we weren't happy at all, and it would affect us for a couple of hours after. We wouldn't talk for a couple of hours after if we didn't win, you know. But I think that's where it's come from. I think that's the only thing I can come from. My mum is extremely competitive as well. Yeah,
very. When I think of your brother, I just think of him doing dabs on Twitter.
He's just he's dabbing behind this county ground. That was class.
What and if you could look back and go, the stuff around the touch games and that. I mean, how impactful do you think that's been? Because we have a lot of debate over here. There's definitely having been out to Singapore, I actually saw quite a lot of contact, but it was a tournament. But I'm aware that people do a lot of touchy type stuff. How important do you think that's been for you?
I think it's massively important. I think just the main focus on skills, the main focus on just catching and passing and just handling different sized balls, whether it's rugby balls, football balls, tennis balls, and then just playing. I think if you're encouraged to play and encouraged to try things in training, they might not come off, but at least you're not doing it in a game, you know. And even if you do it in a game, as long as you fix it, it's all right.
And how's kicking fitted in with that? So
yeah, so I think that's the biggest thing. That's fallen behind, because when we were young, we were told just ball in hand, play. And I remember when I met you and you came to Brighton College. We beat the game by doing a cross kick against Kieran Dawson's defence drill.
Let's not talk about it in case Dawson was listening. That was your Russian prop. What was his name?
Igor.
Igor, of course it was.
Yeah, legend.
Cross kick to Igor wins the game.
Yeah, but I think that's the biggest thing that maybe they've developed now. But when I was there, it was almost frowned upon to kick. You know, like keep the ball, play ball in hand, keep the ball, which obviously benefited our skills that way. But then my kicking was a fair way behind. Yeah, I think the only thing that got me out of jail a little bit was I could play football a little bit, but other than that, yeah. And then I think watching sevens as well was a big factor. I used to go to the Hong Kong sevens every year since I can remember, which seeing the likes of William Ryder, who I love.
Right, you love William Ryder.
Yeah, I think he's playing football now in Fiji. I was asking the Fijian boys. Yeah, he's just playing football in his village or something. But he's a legend. So
I remember asking you when you first started doing those gooses, where they come from, and you were like, oh, I've been watching a bit of William Ryder and I've been trying to bring it into my game. He was a ridiculous player, to be fair. And how's so who's filled in the blanks around the kicking stuff? So you've had some support with that. Would Nick have helped you at Brighton with your kicking?
Yeah, so Mr. Boy used to help me a lot. He used to get me out on the home ground, just me and him, doing extra kicking stuff. And then Nick Evans when I've been at Quinn's. Howard, actually, when I was younger. Howard Graham. And Warren helped me with my kicking. And then Nick Evans at Quinn's started. And then, obviously, Johnny along the side has helped me out a little bit, not to name drop.
No one more excited about seeing you train than Johnny, than your dad.
No, exactly. My dad loved that more than me, I think.
Awkward selfies. That's an awkward selfie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an Ashley Cole selfie.
And what would you... I mean, if you had your time again, is there anything you'd have changed? So if you went back and looked at that little Marcus storming off in the under-9s, is there anything you would have done differently or anything that would have helped him?
What would I have done differently? Probably given football more of a go. No, I'm joking. What I've done differently, probably a bit more focus on my defence when I was younger. I didn't start defending till I was probably 16. So I've had a lot of work to do on that, obviously. And I think I still remember Howard telling, not Howard, Mr. Nicholson at Brighton College. You know Mr. Nicholson?
Yeah.
He's now in Dubai. I actually saw him when I was out there. But he said to me, you're never going to make it anywhere. You're not even going to play for the first team if you don't start tackling. And I was like 15 or 16. And I think that's because he knew me so well and he knew how I'd react. Because I think to some people that would have scared them. And I was like, actually, no, you can do one. I'm going to play for the first team. So I'm going to just start putting my head... And I suffered with a few concussions when I was young, but I think that's when I started thinking, like, I have to do it, otherwise there's literally no chance. And if you get boshed, you just get up and try again. If you get boshed again, you know, almost keep trying as opposed to being what's it called? Revolving door.
Yeah. Because even at that age, at under 16, you were not in a county team. I think John Fletcher might have picked you for the Wellington Festival for the North or something.
Yeah.
So he might have seen something. I don't know what it was.
So I didn't get in the South East. And then, unfortunately for someone in the North, he got injured. And then I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go up there and train. I think the first one was at Queen Ethelberger's up in York or something. And I rocked up in the change room and everyone was looking at me funny.
Yeah. Wow, that's probably because you had your full Quinn's kit on, yeah?
Yeah, probably.
Tell me about some of the like coaching environments you've been in. So what's some of the stuff that's been helpful for you through the years? So bring to life some of those kind of coaching moments. Definitely one there where you got told you're going to have to learn to tackle.
Yeah, so that one when I was younger... I still remember in training, I was just like, nah, don't want to get injured, don't want to put my head there, don't want to get dirty sort of thing. And then he said, Marcus, you've got no chance of playing. You might have all the skills in the world, you've got zero chance of playing in the Brighton College first team. So I was like, oh, that kind of raised alarm bells in my head. And then we used to have this game at Brighton College called the forfeit game, which is where there's three teams and there's different cuts. So There's let's say 10 aside, and in that 10, you split yourself up into threes and 1-4, and you're wearing different colour bibs, and basically Mr. Boy's got a ball, and you basically keep the ball. You start on your try line, you've got to score on their try line, and he shouts different colour bibs, and they have to run back to their own try line and come back in, and basically if you force an error as a defence to the opposition, then they have to run back all the way to the try and the next team attack. And you basically, there's a time limit, score as many tries as you can. And you can eliminate some players if you score tries. And that game we used to play not too often, but I think that's what got everyone excited when we knew that the forfeit game was coming. First of all, it raised the competitive juices and everyone got a bit twitchy and then just put everything under pressure. And there was a bit of physicality, like just grab and hold. There was a lot of whooping and hollering, which was classic Brighton College, I guess. But that game, I enjoyed that game. And then some stuff I did at the England 18 camps, which were aligned, obviously, to what I did at Quinn's with Warren and you and Fletch and Howard and those guys and Waltz. I just think just similar games to that, which was just almost nothing too serious whilst you're still learning. Do you know what I mean? It's like the game I like was the one where you can send one ahead. You can send one guy ahead, and if you can kick to him, you play on from there. And it just got your eyes up, got you playing, and got just a different rule, which I don't think everyone adapted quickly enough, but I think I was lucky that I had Brighton College, Quinns and England 18 stuff, and age group stuff through the years, which were pretty aligned.
Yeah. Saracens game, mate. It's called the Saracens game.
Is that what it's called?
The offside player, yeah.
What, because they're always offside?
Because they're always offside. And because they were kicking. Where were your moments of stretch? So can you remember any stuff where you thought, this is going to make me reach further? I'm going to have to reach further around this stuff.
I used to not like presenting. I used to go very red, and I probably still go a bit red. I wouldn't say I hate it, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. And I remember when I used to go to the 18 camps and had to get the ideas of the boys and then present them in front of everyone. And you know what it's like when you go up there, and I know you say everyone wants you to do well, but at that age you don't. You almost like you always get the other ones at the back. I'm not going to mention any names who are just sniggering and laughing.
I know who we're thinking about.
But I think that was a big step, and I had to like almost dig deep and try and just do it and just force myself to do it, because it's a big part of my role now, and I'm having to do it every week, which is a stretch in itself, because there's British Lions and everyone I'm having to talk to. But I think that at a young age, presenting I found very tough, and just speaking, and because I felt I always had my ideas in my head, and I wasn't afraid to share them, but I think it was just how I was going to put it across in a good way and in a right way to influence other people to do well and listen and almost buy into my idea, which took me time, because I used to go very nervous when I used to talk.
Yeah, and that would be a big part of your job now. You'd be leading lots of meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you would know lots of stuff. I would want to, when we were coaching guys like you, I would just want to make it hard for you all the time. I would want people to give you incorrect information. Foxy to get shots on you.
Yes. So that as much as I would try, because that was in my last year, wasn't it? Yeah, that was in my last year, where I was being told by, I was getting a bit of contact with some more senior guys. So Nick Evans, I used to speak to in my last year, and obviously George Ford, who helped me a little bit, about just being bulletproof the whole time, which I wasn't when I was growing up. I used to let things that I made a mistake on, or let the opposition see my emotions and my feelings.
No, you didn't.
I used to a lot, and then
I remember you tripping someone up in a schoolboy game and thinking,
wow. Oh yeah, I was Eastbourne, wasn't it?
Wow.
I was Eastbourne, I got yellow. Yeah, and so I used to do all sorts of stuff, but in those camps that I used to, I remember those games where you used to tell people to fly out of me, or tell me the wrong rule, and then I would do something, and then the ball would be turned over. And I would make a conscious effort. I think that those times stressed me, because then I would start trying too hard. If let's say I made two mistakes by throwing a ball forward, and you're not allowed to throw a ball forward, I'll be like, F this, I'm going to start running around trying to do rogue stuff, you know? But, yeah.
Pull your socks up, mate. Pull your socks up.
Yeah.
how helpful have those mentors been? So obviously you've been connected with 4D and JW and Nick Evans and people like that. How helpful has that been for you as a player?
Yeah, massively helpful. I think the connection I had, obviously England used to train at Brighton College when I was still there, and the opportunity I had to kick with George Ford and Owen Farrell and Cipriani when they were there was a dream come true, and just little tips that they could give me, and just encouragement to like at that age when you obviously you're aiming for everything, you want to play 18s, you want to play 20s, you want to get a contract, just the encouragement I heard from those guys just to say, you're doing the right things, keep going, keep stick at it, and you'll have a good few years, and just to keep reminding yourself of that from guys who I looked up to and I still look up to, was very helpful. And then guys at Quinns as well, like Nick Evans, who's been there since I've started there when I was 18, and now the addition of Longy. I think for me that I like being challenged, but also a bit of loving once in a while is also not, I feel important, you know.
Nice. And Sips has been good, hasn't he, to be fair?
Yeah, he's been brilliant as well. I speak to him once in a while just about attack and how he manipulates defences, because on his day he's undefendable, and just little cues that he sees that I try and implement as well, and just little training stuff, because he's worked with Sean Long as well, back when Long used to do stuff with Gloucester. So I speak to him and I get the drills that he used to do, just about tempo at the line, like slowing down your feet and speeding up last minute so the defences sit down. Just stuff like that, which I would never have thought of. I used to be one pace, and now I'm trying to do different things, you know.
Now you're becoming more William Ryder.
Trying to, anyway.
You're accelerating. What else has helped you with those transitions? Because obviously it's, you know, you've moved from country to country, from within a club to going into a senior team, international environments. You had a little bit of time with 20s as well. So lots of different environments. What's helped you with transitions? Any stuff you can think of?
I think speaking to people. So I've got a very good connection, obviously, with you, with Nick Boy. So I speak to Mr. Boy probably once or twice a month, just about how I'm feeling. A lot of it now is about how I'm feeling and if I'm apprehensive or excited, or how to almost bottle that and see it as just another training session. Because I used to get I used to be a bit, not in shock, but I used to be a bit tense when I used to be training with England, especially my first few sessions. And I think speaking to guys who've known me since I was young, almost just to say, just let loose, you've been picked there, you're there for the week, just enjoy it, enjoy every minute, and enjoy catching the ball, enjoy passing the ball, because you might not have it again. And I think it didn't come straight away, because I was training with some of the best players in the world and guys who I used to watch as well. But just not to be in awe of them and almost embrace the fact that I'm there and I've worked myself to get there, almost enjoy it, you know, and not think too much about it, because otherwise you start getting tense and then everything goes to pieces, you know.
Nice. And you are one of the most playful people I know. So even when you had the, I want to say it was against Irish, you had a HIA at Twickenham.
Yeah.
Big games. And then you were going to come on. It's rarely you see someone playing with the ball waiting to come back on. So that was pretty cool. What would your perfect session look like? So if you could say, oh, Rusty, we're going to run a session today. This is what's in it. Tell me what type of stuff would get you excited.
So I'd start with five-a-side football to start. Has to be football. No. Football warm-up with, you do your personal stretches. You do your personal stretches if and when you feel tight or sore. So there's no jogging from trial line to 22, all that stuff. Just throw a football in, five-a-side. If your hammy's tight, stretch your hammy. If your calf's tight, stretch your calf, and be out the football game to create numbers down already.
Yeah.
And then we'll start with, for me, just like 2-on-1s, 3v2s, just to start, catch pass, throw the ball to any of the guys, defend it, almost two teams, 10 goes, if whoever wins gives them a forfeit, and then probably the forfeit game, and then that's it.
Job done.
Yeah, maybe a bit of defence in the forfeit game, you could just do grab and hold, and then, yeah, job done.
Job done. 40 minutes,
everyone's smiling, everyone's happy. A lot of movement, a lot of ball movement as well. It's good fun.
I watched a Quinn session the other week that you were at, and you were playing football at the start, and it's the most alive I saw the players in the whole session.
100%. I think it sets the tone. It just sets the tone that we're all doing this because we love the game. You know, we're all doing this because we want to be outside, as opposed to, oh, here we go again. It's another 22 meters and back. It's another side sprints.
Yeah.
I think we need to put more ownership, or I feel that we can put more ownership on us players, because none of us want to pull a hamstring. None of us want to pull a calf. So we're going to do everything we can to stretch it, I believe. I know some guys don't like warming up, but I don't want to pull a calf. I don't want to pull a hamstring. So I'm going to stretch my hamstring if they're tight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. What type of stuff? So when you play, you mentioned a couple of things. So you've mentioned talking about like accelerating and understanding, you know, which defenders you're trying to influence in attack. What are the stuff you're looking at when you get the ball in attack? And then let's do defence. So you can do whichever one you want. Do you want to do defence or attack first?
We'll go defence first.
Yes! Let's go. What type of stuff you're looking for?
So what I'm looking for in defence is, firstly, eyes of the guy who I'm... So basically, off a line out, off scrum or phase, it's the same. So normally the bigger guys, they're pointing at me, or tens are saying, split Smith, split Marcus. So I'm basically looking at, firstly, the eyes of the carriers, because the tens not going to get to me because everyone's fixed with running square. So the tens never going to influence me. Therefore, I shoot up at the first guy, basically on his eyes. So if I see him not even looking at me, I shoot up harder and get slightly in the channel so that he's on my inside and this guy's on my outside. And try and cut down time and space to make as good a collision as I can. And then the big focus for me is, in my early years as a professional, I used to hit and fall off and not be strong enough in my arms. So now I've been trying to just hit and squeeze and do the clamp around my wrist.
Ring of steel, mate. Ring of steel. Yeah. So they talk to the kids about.
Ring of steel, exactly.
Cheek to cheek.
And then other things like... I'm pretty confident of reading people's sidesteps. Obviously, you're going to get stepped once in a while, but I like gambling on where I think they're going to go and almost forcing them to make a decision, because especially let's say I kick the ball long and it's bouncing. I'm happy to just throw my all into that chase and predict where he's going to go, and then force him to change his mind, and then my other mate, who's hopefully with me, is going to clean him up. So that's something I try and do fun, try and have fun with. But something I want to work on, and I'm working on it with Dom Brandt, is interceptions, because he's similar to me in the sense of he likes attacking. I love attacking, and he basically tries to outthink the. We've spoken about it before. We tries to outthink the attacker and force him to go somewhere that he knows he's going to go, because he knows where the space is if he was the attacker, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you need to spend more time with England than Ian's working on your intercepts. Look, there's a couple of things you've said there. One is, I think more defenders should think about dictating. So they should be going, this guy, I know this guy, loves to... So if I'm, you know, Mark Smith, I know this guy likes to goose step out to the right, as an example, then I'm going to stand on his left and make him go the other way. So just understanding and picking up cues would be important. Second thing, definitely, where are people looking? Like, so many people not looking at the ball. They ain't getting it.
Or hands are down, or slowing down. If they're slowing down, they're 100% a dummy line. Yeah. If the hands are down, they're 100%, they think they're a dummy line.
Yeah. Unless they've double bluffed you, but they won't. They're not there yet. And then the last thing you said is, you just said, oh, I do this because everyone's fixed with running square. So that would be something else that I think would be something that makes defence easier, is that often people are running in a straight line.
Yeah.
Because they have to. Well, being told that they have to run, stay square type of stuff.
Yeah.
What have you noticed about Dom Brandt? Because he's obviously having big impact, and when I saw him dancing on the thing in the change rooms, I thought, Maybe there's hope for me yet.
100%. He's been a brilliant addition to our team. Firstly, forget the rugby side. He's a good bloke, and he's always smiling. He's always happy, and I think you can see that in the way he plays and the way he bounces around the pitch. And then his rugby ability, his ability to see a gap and run off me, run off Danny, run off anyone really, and find half shoulders, and he can offload as well off both hands. He's got big hands. And then defence, when he wants to turn it on, he can intercept. When he wants to tackle, he can tackle, and he can jackal as well. So he's a brilliant addition to our team, and he's only going to get better as well over time. But he's for me the biggest thing. I just love playing with him because he's got a smile on his face the whole time. He's happy to do anything really. He's game for anything. So if he's almost the one encouraging me to do some stuff, and I encourage him to do some weird stuff as well.
Yeah, I'm always excited when I see players that. So my favourite time of playing was when I was at uni. It was miles better than any professional I played. But I always excited when I see people who look like they're playing when I was at uni. And Don Brant looks like he's playing at uni still.
Yeah.
Which I love. What about attack? What stuff are you noticing or looking for in attack?
Again, eyes. That's a big, for me, that's a big cue. If I see the guy who's opposite me looking excited and going to come get me, then I know I don't have to go to the line as much, and I can use the ball to push me where I want to go. So if he's slightly inside me and he's going to tee off, he's like shouting, you know that all you've got to do is show a little bit to him, and he's completely obsessed, and let the ball come across, and you're gone. You're already on the fourth defender.
AJ does that well, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Drift on the pass. You're already on the fourth defender as opposed to the guy in front of you. Secondly, who's tired? Whose hands are on? Who's knackered in the phase of play? Especially off like long kick returns. If you're in the backfield, which I'm finding myself more and more often in the backfield. Who are the guys who are slowing down? Who are the guys who are, you can see who are struggling, and you know in that phase of play or in a couple phases later, unless they get subbed off, there's always going to be spacing around him. So using your framework or your plays, so we whether it's two at the line with off 10, whether it's one under, two over, wherever it is, using those to basically to go at those guys and make them make decisions, because under fatigue, you know, it's like, if you're 60 minutes into a game and you've done a lot of kick chase, a lot of tackling, a lot of rucking, a lot of passing, a lot of everything, it's hard to make a decision. So just finding those guys and then just picking my moment, not almost going quiet for 5 minutes, doing my basics and then go and then do a 5 minute sprint, you know, do a 5 minute stint of where I'm going to take everything on, picking my moments, which I think I've learned more recently, because I feel more marked a little bit than I did in my first year of obviously.
What about backfield? What are you looking for?
Backfield, I'm looking for blindside wingers. I like doing the reverse kicks. So
love a reverse kick.
Yeah. So if we're off the left, so we're coming off the left, I'll keep watching. So I'll play. I'll watch if the winger's still up, then I know okay that's going to be on next time. And then where the nine is for chips as well.
Dummy switch kick to where the winger was, that'd be cool as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also gotta take into account your runners, who you got outside you. So if I've got Dommers, I know I can go to the line more and punch him through a hole. If I've got Paul, I can go to the line, Lazica, I can go to the line and punch him through more. Whereas if I've got March, I know I don't have to go too hard because he can work on the pass, you know. Or if I got Caden or Gabs, I can throw the ball into space and let them do their magic as well.
They'll do some magic.
Yeah.
What, you sound very wise now. What stuff would have helped you when you were, if you go back to England 18s, what stuff could we have done more of to help you?
What stuff could you have done more? I think one thing was to open our eyes to what it would be like in professional.
In the future.
Yeah, because I know no one can read the future, but you guys would have been more more knowledgeable about professional environments and three phases of lineouts and exit strategies and kickoff receipt. You do a kickoff receipt and stuff like that, which because we were living in a world where none of us knew. We were all playing at schools where we were encouraged to play. It was frowned upon to exit. It was frowned upon to do that sort of stuff.
You were still exiting, mate. You were just scoring from your exits.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if we could have, if I could have had a bit more, because I still remember this is a good stat. In my first game against Irish, I started at 10 and I didn't kick the ball once.
You made a lot of line breaks.
Yeah, true. Didn't kick the ball once in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is there's many ways to skin a cat, but we lost that game. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know. I would say that's the only thing, because I think the skills that I've learned, the skills that a lot of my peers in around my age group have, and they're happy to challenge things, they're happy to beat the game, they're happy to do that sort of stuff. But I think what we as youngsters find tough, speaking to them and living with Caden, is the 3-4 phase stuff, is the you have to do this, as opposed to seeing the picture then deciding what the best option is. And obviously you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes both ways. You're going to make mistakes even if you plan it. But I think obviously,
For you, you would have had lots of similar environments. So us, Quinns, Brighton would have played in similar ways. And actually then it makes your transition a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Depending upon how that transition is worked out between the coaches in your life. And actually, it's something to think about as well. But even at that age, at 18, you were training with England, and it might have looked different at Quinns to how it looked at England as well. So,
I think the biggest thing that helped me in my transition was how welcoming, I understand I got my opportunity through injury, but how welcoming the guys were. So Danny Kerr, Jamie Roberts, who was outside me at the time, Yardie, loads of them, Mike Brown would always put their arm around me and say, or obviously challenge me if I was making stupid decisions the whole time, but almost back me as well. So I remember in my first game against Irish in pre-season, I was doing chips, I was doing cross kicks, and they're magically coming off. But I think I would have held back more if I wasn't told by these guys, just do what you express yourself, do what you've been doing in training. And then to cap it all off, JK, John Kingston at the time, said to me, Marcus, there's no wrong decisions. You won't make any wrong decisions. You've got a British line outside you at 12. You've got most cap England scrum half and full back around you. Anything that goes wrong is not your fault. And I was like, shit. For the boss to say that to me at such a young age kind of liberated me and made me feel free and smile on my face. And I made loads of mistakes, and I still do. But I think to have that in your back of your mind that he's got your back first and foremost, and then your teammates got your back, kind of makes you more free. And then you've got more chance of executing the skill.
Yeah, and give a JK shout out, because you still speak to JK, don't you?
Yeah, I get on really well with JK. He looked after me in my first year, so me and him have good chats once in a while, and he's a very caring man, so I like him.
And this is something that I've definitely chatted a bit about with you. If you could have your dream 9 and 12, what characteristics would they have? How would they help you on the pitch?
So 9 to start has to be a running threat for me. I feel a running threat 9 opens space for me and benefits the team, because the defences don't know who's gonna dominate.
Like Sean Perry, like the Sean Perry.
Like a Pezza, I reckon. Nice sniping around the rocks. And then secondly, a 9 who's willing to not challenge me, but say no. So if I want to play and he sees something different, no, Marcus, we're doing this. I don't mind that, because then at least he's taking some ownership and some heat on on decision making. I don't like it when just nines just throw you the ball, whatever. Obviously, you have to react, but just throw without you even wanting the ball is makes it a lot harder.
12,
and then 12 would be someone who can ball play for sure. Someone who's potentially played 10, but played a few positions, 15 maybe, just to see the pictures that I want to see and to help me out using the communication and actions, and then someone who defensively is solid.
So what I'm hearing is Pezzo at 9 and Peter Walton at 12.
Peter Walton at 12, that's right.
Peter Walton at 12. What about coaches? What skills would you like from coaches around you? What would be your top kind of tips?
For coaches, I would say for me personally,
can I guess what you say?
Go on.
Yeah, challenge your feedback. Don't hold it back, type stuff.
Yeah, so that on the feedback stuff, that's the stuff. Don't hold back. Tell me straight if that was a bad decision, or you think it's a bad decision. Tell me straight. Don't go sugarcoating it. Challenging me in the sense that, oh, you could have done this, and then we have a little debate, or challenge me with rule changes, or challenge me even in a game to say, Marcus, do in training, do 5 chips.
Bet you can't do that. Bet you can't chip.
Yeah, exactly. Or bet you can't, exactly. And I'll be like, all right, let's go. And then
I bet you can't cross kick it to Igor.
To Igor. And ruin the drill. He lost his head, didn't he?
Oh, like.
And then
I think he's just calmed down.
and then someone who just doesn't take himself too seriously. Especially now where it is a job, but I still see it as a hobby. I don't want to take it too seriously. I feel if I take it too seriously, I think too much about the game. Then I overthink things and I premeditate things as opposed to trying to see how it comes. Obviously, when I'm thinking about the game, I'll think about it hard, but when we're walking to lunch, for example, we don't have to be talking about rugby the whole time. Just someone who doesn't have to take himself too seriously.
Nice. And how would you use an analyst? So if Kaz came back, and was Kaz analyst with you, or was it Luke?
Kaz was there when in my under-17s, and then it was Luke.
Nice. So if you worked with either of those guys again, what would be your advice to them? How would you use them?
I would say also just I don't think people use them enough, in the sense that I don't think the players go to them enough. But I also feel that analysts can just throw stuff at you as well and then discuss with you, in the sense that they could just put on the database or send you on a WhatsApp video, just a video, and then see your thoughts. And then at least you're talking about the game, because they've got all the stats, they've got all the numbers, which say a lot. But I feel that players, well, I definitely did. I didn't use them enough when I was younger. However, now I see the benefit of them a lot more. And if I had my time again, I would love to have seen what they thought about this team, what they thought about that opposition 10. Because at the end of the day, they watch more rugby than me. They watch more rugby than anyone. So just ask them, literally ask them, what do you think of that 10? What does he do well? What does he not do well? What does that 12 do well? And just hear their thoughts. And it can only be good information, you know. Like, even if it goes in one ear, one out one ear, no offence, Kaz and Luke, but it can only help you if you
no one watches more rugby than those guys.
No, for sure. So
they might know everything about opposition 10-12 more than most of the players would know.
Yeah, agree. So they must see things that we don't even watch, we've never even seen before. So I think just using those things, which I do now, and our analyst today, Kev Gill and Mark Turner, they send me the weather forecast every Thursday, which is nice. The wind's coming, which is good. And then we just talk about random stuff. I always go in there and ask them where they're most vulnerable off in the game as an attack. So we were speaking about Sale, and they're the worst in the league, I think, the stats show, on counter-attack, on kick counter. So if they kick to us, we got a strike within two or three phases. Otherwise, they get solid, and their defense has been the best. So their defense is the best, but their kick count is bad. So therefore, what we were going to the game in was if we don't get good dominant stuff in the first three, the chances are it will get harder because they'll get more energy, they'll get more line speed, they'll get more excited. So try first three. If you can get them in one, get them in one. But try first three, transfer pressure back onto them. Force Hammersley or force one of them to kick back to us, you know, and just that sort of information I'd never even know because I don't analyze, I don't take stats.
You don't know everything.
No, nowhere near.
What, let's pick your best five-a-side rugby team, touch. Five-a-side touch rugby team, who's in it?
Five-a-side touch rugby team.
I'll pick mine, you pick yours.
That I've ever played with?
Yeah, got to be people you've played with.
All right.
Or been coached by, so you could pick Nick Boy.
No. I'll pick Gabs.
Yeah, I'm going my cat. I'm quickly about this now. This
Don Brandt.
Cool. If you go forward, I'm going to go... Oh, man, this is tough. This is tough for me now. Steve Surridge. You have no idea who he is, do you?
No.
Is he the guy with the All Blacks playing?
Sports.
Did what?
Is he the guy who does Surridge Sports?
No, he didn't. He doesn't. He played for the All Blacks.
Oh, wow.
I got one cap. Played for Movement Uni. He was the best forward I ever played with.
Oh, wow. What position? Eight?
Eight or seven. Played for Crusaders.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would then go Redpath. Cam Redpath.
Not Brian?
No. I've never been coached with Brian. He was a brilliant player.
I think I'm John Fletcher because no one knows, no one wants to win more than Fletch. I think you could put Cam off his game.
I'm then going to go for a scrum half. I'll go.
I'm going to John Perry.
You're going Sean Perry. I'm going. I'll go Danny Kerr.
Really? Danny Kerr? You could have picked Harry Randall, mate.
Oh, true.
One more. You can change Danny to Harry Randall.
No, I want Danny. I back Danny.
One
quiz,
mate. One more.
And then last one, I would go... It's touch, isn't it?
It's touch.
Yeah, otherwise I'd pick Caden because he would truck everyone on your team.
He'd truck, wouldn't he?
He'd have to touch, I would go... Last one. Are we going front row?
Okay, let's go front row, Reach.
Okay. Jed. George Ed.
George Ed. If you could get him off his PlayStation.
Oh.
My skillful front row I played with. Johnny Evans. Johnny Evans works for the Welsh Rugby Union now. Played hooker at Cambridge. Won the varsity match. Dave Humphrey scored 19 points. We scored 21 and we got a penalty try at the end that won the game. It was the first televised penalty try.
Oh, wow.
Strong team there, actually. Cat, Surridge, Fletcher, Perry, Evans. Mate, I've got some one-worders to finish. You cool with this?
All right. So just say what's on my mind.
Say what's on your mind, mate. Nick Boy.
Challenging.
England.
Powerful.
John Fletcher.
Hilarious.
Peter Walton.
Visualization.
Yeah, mate, same for me.
That's class. I actually miss that. Keep it on.
It used to freak me out, but when the back came in.
I remember in Swansea, we used to go in that little room. Everyone was like, oh, why is Marcus going in there? I was loving it. I was getting tingles.
That's cool. That's good feedback for Waltz. Never go into a forwards meeting again, by the way. Sean Perry.
Hilarious as well. Both him and Fletch hilarious together.
Caden Murley.
Strong as hell.
Gabs.
Magical.
He's magical, isn't he? Fletcher always says I'd pay good money to watch him play. Brighton College.
Different.
Centos.
Enjoyable.
Rugby.
Fun.
I knew you'd say fun, mate. Good answer. Mate, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rusty. That was good.
Always good to catch up.
Yeah, no, we should do more.
Keep up the good work.
Cheers, mate. Have a good day. Thanks.